Hi guys, and welcome to the Let's Talk Tennis podcast. This is episode 9. I am Tom, your host, and I'm with Marty and Vulzi. We have our second guest on the podcast today, and we are delighted to have Keza Khan, who is a up-and-coming tennis player who has played on the US college circuit and is now trying to step onto the ATP tour and see what he can do there. So Keza, welcome. If you just want to introduce yourself to everybody and just kind of give them your brief background.
Sure, yeah. Firstly, thanks for having me on, guys. Really enjoyed the podcast. Been following up to all of them so far, so really excited to be here. So my background, I'm from England originally, from London, and I went to McKendree University in Illinois, which is where I played college from 2015 to 2019. We're a Division II school. And yeah, my whole intention always, even before going to college, was I would keep playing as long as I can. So once I graduated in 2019, you know, my level was at the best it ever had been, which is, you know, a case for a lot of seniors. But I said to myself, I was like, okay, I want to keep playing. And obviously with money being an issue, my intention was to coach so I could make money and do that. And so I moved to Florida and I coached at the USCA campus for a year, which is where I met Martine. We became friends. And yeah, so while I was there, I was coaching and playing as much as I could. And then obviously the lockdown hit. So I came back to England. And ever since then, I've just been, of course, trying to play when I can, when I'm out of lockdown. I had a little stint in Spain, in Barcelona, for the last few months of 2020, where I, again, coached and played tournaments and stuff. And that's pretty much it. Up to then, I've been in lockdown the last couple of months. So not too much update. But yeah, my whole thing is I just wanted to keep playing at whatever level that is, whether a high national level, play futures eventually, trying to see if I can make it into the rankings. I'm 24 now, so yeah, that's just a little bit of background on me.
Yeah, I think it's such a common thing for players, especially for players who go out to the States, right, is that I saw it myself in my own game, is that my game took off when I went out to the States. Just the way that we've talked about before in the podcast, the team environment, I kind of elevated me to play at a different level. And I felt I would love to keep going. I was 22, 23 when I ended up going into coaching. And it's one of those things where at 22, 23, physically, you're probably at your peak. And you're matured so much in, especially if you've gone out to the foreign country to go and play. And you've learned so much from playing at the level of college tennis is at now. I mean, like, just from when we first started to when we finished, like the level was just getting harder and harder every year. And it's setting players up to come out better than they were when they were going in. Where I think before, a lot of players kind of declined as they finished college. I think a lot of players now, because the level is so high, are just getting better and better. And then all of a sudden they get out of college and they're like, one, if they're foreign in the US, how am I going to stay? How am I going to get a visa? What am I going to do to be able to keep training? And then, you know, the second part is, how am I going to afford this? How am I going to survive now that I'm not, you know, living on campus and my meals are all paid for and keep competing? Because in tennis, we don't get paid unless we win, right? And before that even is the opportunity to do that, a lot of time you're not getting paid even if you do win, right? And so, and the level of players out there right now, I always kind of say to people when people say, oh, how good were you? I was like, I'm always saying, like, I'm in that bracket of players where we're well above the average, but not quite good enough to be like on the, you know, on the guys who maybe potentially have a chance to get onto TV, right? We're in that bracket. And who knows where we really sit on there, because there's only X amount of players actually ranked. So when you decided, I think it's very brave what you're doing. Like when you decided, hey, I'm actually going to keep playing. I'm going to use coaching as a way to fund me playing, but I'm going to keep playing. When you decided to do that, what's the main motivation? Like, what's your main motivation for you that's keeping you going? Because it's got to have a lot of challenges, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think one thing that I'll point out is I didn't start playing tennis till quite late. I was about 11 when I first started tennis. So, you know, really late. And so I think there's obviously positives and negatives to that. If I started when I was younger, maybe I probably would have been a better player physically. Mm-hmm. But the fact that I started so late, I'm still as excited about tennis now, maybe more so than my peers who started when they were younger. You know, they might have burned out maybe when they were... I know a lot of friends who even went D1 who burn out in their sophomore, junior year just because they've done 15 years by that point. They've had enough. Whereas for me, tennis was still almost like this new sport and I was still just loving it. And so I guess the motivation for me to continue was I still had so much passion for it in that sense. It was still so exciting to me just to be on a court.
Yeah.
And because I started later, I was still seeing so much progression in my game that, because in my first couple of years of college, I wasn't really even making the lineup at one point. We had a big roster of like 16. And so I fought my way to finally end up making it as captain in my final year and being a regular like roster member. And so I thought to myself, I was like, well, that's almost enough motivation. Like, I need to see if I can do this. Let me see if I can do this at the next level afterwards. And that's kind of where the motivation came from, I guess.
I think that's, I can relate to that a lot. Like, I didn't play my first tournament until I was like 12. And I was and people might hear that and be like, you were 12. Like, that's really young. But for tennis players, that's quite old. And I felt, and I think these guys will say the same, like, my enthusiasm to get better was only intensifying the more years I was playing, because again, I didn't have that. I wasn't playing tennis when I was under 10s. I was doing all loads of sports. And then I felt like, for me, I kind of felt like how you feel, is like, I wasn't done. I'd seen this massive progression in my game over 4 years of playing in college. And I felt at the end of college, I was like, I'm not done here. Like, I want to keep going and I want to keep going. But it's such a difficult thing then. It's like, you come off this wave of like college where everything's provided for you and all you got to do is work hard and you will get the opportunity if you make the improvements, where it's like, you're gonna hit the real world of tennis, and there's so many different layers to that, where it's like regional, national, and then international, right? And at that point, they go, the tennis world goes, oh, we don't care if you can't afford it. Someone else can. We don't care if you can't be at this tournament. Someone else can. And we don't care if you're working harder than everybody else. If you can't physically get here and turn up on the day and produce the level you need to, we don't care. You know, someone else will do that. And I think that's something that there's a lot of players I feel like will be in that situation where they peak later on than what guys like me and Martin Vorsey, where we've been developing players and we've been desperately trying to develop them to get to the point where they are ready for 18. And most players aren't the full package at 18 and aren't the full package at 22. Look at some of the professional players who have done way better in their later career. But they've been just about good enough to get over that first hump. Vorsey, Marty, like, what do you see? Have you seen a lot of this happen where you've been working with players, even at the college level or afterwards, maybe, you know, at the Dark Admiral USTA campus, where that first hump kind of holds them?
I mean, personally, I would say you see a lot of sparks of players that come out, they play a good tournament and say they go pretty deep into a future, or they might even win it, but they're just a spark. They can't keep the fire lit, per se, where they are maintaining that level permanently. So you see potential in a lot of players, and like we've said in the previous podcast, I think a lot of them can hit well, they can do everything well, they have a weapon or two, but are you mentally tough enough to maintain that level, keep that fire lit for a long period of time where you can show results consecutively? That's where I kind of see it at that point. I don't know what you guys might think.
Yeah, I mean, you brought up a really good point there. Like, because again, Kayser, you're probably feeling this, especially with the fact that COVID has been such a nightmare for athletes right now. It's physically, you might feel like, yes, okay, going through college, like, physically, I'm at my best, I'm playing well, mentally, I'm good in this environment. And then it's such a hard slap of reality as you get into the real world of tennis. And mentally, that can be very difficult for a lot of players, right? How have you dealt with that? One, how have you dealt with the COVID situation? Because you were on a roll, right? You were like coming out of college and like, right, I want to go give this a go. And then all of a sudden the world said, no, not right now. We're going to put you on pause. And then in the little parts that you've been able to do, how have you dealt with the mental, like, struggles that players go through, especially trying to get over that first hump?
So to answer your second question first, I guess I'll do. I found it a lot tougher than I probably expected, because I was doing the coaching on the side. And I kind of went into that at my job at the USTA thinking, I'll just do a little bit of coaching 3-4 hours a day and then I'll have my hits. Like, that's easy. And obviously it wasn't. It's very physically, very, very taxing. I felt like I wasn't able to fully invest in either category, in the coaching or the tennis, or the physical tennis for myself, which I really found tough. But in terms of like playing tennis, I felt great. I felt I was improving well. I was hitting with Martin a lot and some of the other guys at the campus. So that side was good. And then, yeah, I haven't yet played futures tournaments, so I haven't even entered that whole beast of tennis yet, you know, the traveling internationally and stuff. I was just playing, Florida is very good for tournaments, so I was playing the men's opens, like, in South Florida quite a lot, and I was doing okay in them. You know, I was winning a couple matches here, losing some, whatever. Yeah. But you know, like, all positive results, and I was enjoying that. But then, yeah, of course, COVID came. The initial lockdown, obviously, I didn't do anything. I mean, I was doing my fitness, but, you know, everyone was in that same kind of boat. And then ever since then, I'm trying to look at it in a positive way. So this last couple months of being locked down, I haven't been able to hit, but I've completely upped my physical training more than I ever have before. And I'm doing a lot more mental training than I ever have. I've never really worked on the mental game before. Everyone always says it's so important, but none of us ever work on it. I think we have the idea that, yeah, we get the mentality is important, but if I just work on my forehand 10 hours a day and I get a big forehand, then mental strength doesn't matter anyway because I win my matches. So that's been my big thing this time around, is really trying to work on different aspects of my game that maybe I never have before. I guess with the hope and intention that when I do restart playing, maybe I'll be better than I ever was once I obviously get the feeling back.
100%. I couldn't agree. I think the mental side of tennis, I mean, it's something, that's the only reason this podcast and my tennis mentoring that I do online with players is the only way I'm really in tennis still. But I've got a lot of tennis clients that I literally sit and talk to for an hour a week just purely to develop mental skills, because it is such a vital part of tennis. I think it's such an underrated part of tennis for players and coaches to work on, because at some point, like, you're in that category now where everybody hits a good forehand, everybody hits a good backhand, everybody serves decent, like, everybody moves well. It's who can put it together under pressure, who can do it week in, week out. And again, like, you know, in college, you've got that comfort blanket of like, all right, if you lose 3 matches in a row, you know you're going to be able to play the next week, or at least have the opportunity to play next week. Where, you know, when you're out there and you're trying to fund it yourself, and you know you're coaching on the side to try and make the money go as far as you can, if you keep losing at some point, it's very difficult to mentally be able to justify, hey, I got to keep playing here, I got to keep losing. And I preach to players, like, you have to learn to lose at a high level in order to win at a high level, right? But the time is always ticking for players who are trying to break it over that first hump that we've been talking about. Wolsey, you've been in an environment where you've probably been around a lot of players that are breaking onto the tour with being a part of the Nadal Academy. Like, how have you seen players deal with that first initial hump, maybe going out of juniors or after college into that first stage of the tour? And how is the coaching at Nadal's Academy, is it structured mentally to be able to prepare players for this?
Yeah, for sure. And I think I would like to ask a question related to that to Casey, so maybe he can explain with his own words what he feels as a player. But yeah, I want to keep that line, that topic that Martin just brought up, after when a player goes out after college and then suddenly gets hit by how hard it is to keep going with tennis. And for sure, I had a lot of experience traveling with players in future tournaments and staying weeks and weeks in different countries in tough situations, shitty courts, shitty clubs. So my question to you, Casey, it's probably two questions in one, but the first one, I would like to know, how did college tennis help you in the process of becoming a better tennis player, mentally, physically, and whatever you can explain to us?
Yeah.
And maybe as a second question, are you, like, and the same, in the same line that we've been talking, are you aware of the difficulty to get into the next level? You were talking about maybe getting into futures. Are you aware of the difficulty that you have to go through? Because, for example, as a coach, like I said, I've been weeks after weeks, for example, in Tunisia, that I can guarantee that the courses are not very good, you know. So a lot of times I ask players, okay, everyone wants to be, you know, get into the future level, get into the challenge level, but, you know, I like to ask players, are you prepared to go 4 weeks in a row in that country that you're going to be locked down in the hotel? You know, so if you can elaborate a little bit on those two questions, that will help a lot.
Yeah, those are really cool questions, actually. So college for me, I guess, again, was a bit different because, again, like I said, by starting tennis later, I guess most people get to college at 18 and they're pretty much set with their game, I feel. Obviously, you're making tweaks and stuff and you're becoming more mature. But for me, I still had to develop even like technically a bit in college. So maybe it's a bit different for me. So yeah, from how I started freshman up to senior, technically, even that was a big change for me. Of course, mentally, I came in, I was 19, I was still a kid, really. Like, I didn't think so at the time, but I really was just a kid. And then I, again, becoming the captain at the end, I guess, says something about maybe the kind of maturity levels that I got to. And so without that kind of maturity level, I wouldn't even be able to do what I'm doing right now. I'd be completely lost. And then physically, yeah, you know, we had such a good program there with, you know, the conditioning and stuff that it made me so interested in just athletics in general, you know, just athletic movements, which I'd never done before. I'd done tennis specific training, of course, so I'd done my footwork and this, but I'd never done, you know, Olympic movements, what we were doing in the gyms. And so I fell in love with that whole world of it too. And then just being in that team environment was just so, okay, I used to play football before tennis. So it was nice to have that again for a bit, which I honestly miss a lot. That's one thing that obviously I can't replicate again. And I do miss that so much. Just being able to travel with the boys every week and, you know, have a good time at training, at matches. That's something. So all of those experiences together, yeah, they really helped make me into kind of who I am now. And I don't think I would be this like kind of mature guy. I'd like to say mature guy that I am now. And so, yeah, so college in that sense was incredible for me, physically, mentally, all of those things. And I couldn't recommend it enough. And then to go into your second question, honestly, I'd love to sit here and preach and be like, yeah, the Futures Tour is so hard. Like, you know, 4 weeks in Sharm El Sheikh. And then I was just looking at a tournament in Sharm El Sheikh before this, which is why I said it. But I can't lie to you. Like, I don't know what that's like yet because I haven't even experienced that level yet. I'm still at that level where I'm just kind of playing like national tournaments where, yeah, you're traveling 2-3 hours, but it's nothing crazy. You know, you win your match, you stay the night in a hotel, you lose and you drive back down. And the place I was in Florida, I can't really complain. So yeah, I can't, I guess I almost don't understand. I'd like to think I do. I've read enough about it and I've heard from people who have done it. But until you've experienced, yeah, 4 weeks in Tunisia, like you said, maybe just eating a little bit of food every day and the courts getting ringed out and stuff, I don't fully know, I guess. I can't say I do. So maybe, yeah, that's my next thing is I do want to experience that level of tennis now. Next and see what it's like, just the whole process of eating and hotels and traveling and playing. And yeah,
I think that's like
and I didn't want to sound that is tough because a lot is very enjoyable if you like the process. It's just I wanted to make a point that actually is the day-to-day work that you have to focus on to become a good player, right? A lot of players think that, okay, I want to make it on TV, I want to make it on the tour, everything looks so cool. But before that is all that, you know, all that process that you need to do day by day. So I think, yeah, you answered those questions really well.
I think, I think it's a fantastic question and a great answer. And like, it highlights, for people who maybe don't know about that world of tennis, that stage of tennis, that kind of in-between moment, how difficult it can be. But and it's going to, you know, kind of sieve out the players who don't really want it, right? And I feel like the players that get past that initial hump, you know, they have to have the ability. Obviously, they need to have the ability, but then they also need to have that mental endurance to go to these countries where the ATP points are potentially more available and they're going to be able to get into the draws to get the opportunity to it. And you've got to play the system a little bit, you know. You can't just sit around in Europe and hope that you can get into, you know, into the main draw somewhere, because the level is so incredibly high. And I think as well, like, from people who don't know about that world, they don't realize how good this level is. You know, it's these athletes, like, you know, what you're doing now, you are very good at your sport, and it's going to be really tough to get to the next point where you can carry on doing it. And I say to a lot of people, I'm like, look, if you took most players that don't quite make it onto the professional level, if you took them and you transferred their skills into another sport, they'd be making a decent living out of a team sport where there's more opportunity, there's more money maybe to be able to sit on the bench for a football team and make at least some money so you can get through and wait for your opportunity. Where tennis, you've got to grind it out, go and travel around the world, try and get these points. And even when you get the points, it doesn't always work its way out. And then if you get injuries, you know, and that's, I mean, it's an uphill battle. But again, I think if you have that passion for it, I think it's something, even if you didn't get there, you're going to remember and be grateful for the rest of your life, right? Because it will teach you to kind of just be disciplined on a daily basis. And I think for you now, you're in that stage as well where you've gone from very structured training in a team environment, and now you've got to find players to play with. You've got to find that motivation every day to be on top of yourself, because you can't afford to pay for a coach and pay for a fitness, you know, person who's going to take and do all your conditioning for you. Now you're on your own and you've literally got to work on all aspects of your game, but you've got to do it on a very tight budget, because any money that you're going to potentially have, you're spending on traveling to try and keep this dream alive, you know? What is the biggest struggle you've felt so far? What is the thing that it's been in your face, like very apparent? Once you finish college, you're like, whoa, I didn't realize this was going to be this difficult.
I think almost I agree with what you initially said in terms of you're out of that structure again now. So yeah, I now had to find a whole new group of hitting partners. Like when I went to the USTA in Florida, that was my initial concern. I kind of knew I'd find players quickly, but still you kind of have that concern. So luckily I found Martin. I found a couple of other guys, but yeah, I had to do this all myself. I had to, and again, going back to the whole coaching part, I now had to be like, okay, like, I guess I'm a coach now. I'm employed by a company who expect me to coach. They haven't hired me to be a player.
Yeah.
So now it's like, wow, like I need to do this job. I need to ask for time. My biggest thing is, how do I ask for time off? How do I schedule tournaments? How do I maintain the energy? Like, If I want to go play a futures in Mexico when I'm working at the USTA, well, guys, do you mind if I go to Mexico this weekend, potentially for one day, but potentially for a week?
Yeah.
How are you going to reschedule your programming with that? So that's always been a big concern, is how I can't really make a proper schedule. I have to maybe hope for tournaments that just go from Friday to Sunday, for example, you know, some men's opens. So that's a big thing. And then, yeah, like you said, how do I improve my own game when I don't have the budget to afford it? So like, for example, when I went to Spain, I basically made a deal with an academy there that, look, I'll coach your junior kids in the evening if I can train with your older kids in the morning. And so then I luckily got coaching through that. But you know, you have to find ways.
Yeah.
And I do believe if you want it, you'll find certain ways to save money here. Maybe, oh, I'll coach these guys for 2 hours if you let me hit for 2 hours with these guys. So that's been the biggest struggle, I guess, is yeah, just being out of that set routine and now having to find my own structure and having to make deals here and there, you know?
Yeah. And I think, again, like going back to what I said, like, I think that does separate the people that really want it and the people that don't say they want it, but don't want to put the work in to find a solution, to find that way to do it, you know? And like, again, I think, for anyone who is maybe on the fence right now, maybe people who are listening to this and they're in their senior year of college and they're not quite sure if they want to go give this a go. I mean, I think from what you can take from this is like, if you really want to go give it a go, find a way, you know, find a way to do it. And I think for like me, Volzy and Marty, I think we took the route of like, well, we're going to go in and do coaching. Like I went down to Florida. I was playing the best tennis I've ever played. Like, and I felt like, do I give this a go? Do I kind of do what you were doing and give it a go? And for me, it was a no-brainer. I kind of fell in love with coaching. And my passion for for coaching was a lot stronger than what my playing was, which I was very surprised with, because I was my full mindset was playing. I was like, I want to keep playing as long as I can. My motivation, I think, for a lot of us, was to go out to the States was to keep playing. Like, I didn't care about school. I didn't care about getting a degree. I just want to keep playing tennis. And the US gave me that amazing opportunity. But I think as well, for listening to you, like, it's very difficult when you combine, like, you're doing half coaching and then you're trying to play. And like, playing, for anyone who hasn't tried to play at this level, that consumes your life. Everything you do, it consumes your life. It's who you are. And then coaching does the same thing. Like, it's a very physically demanding job. It's a very mentally taxing job, because you're constantly trying to give your best to the people on the other side of the net, where you're really, your main passion at that point is in your side of the net, right? And finding players who are willing to go out and hit with you at the intensity that you need them to must be quite difficult. And like, Marty, when you were there at the USCA campus, like, how hard was it for you? Because you were coaching, you know, a lot of hours at that point. How hard was it for you to kind of go, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to give you 100% of my energy for these couple of hours, and then I've got to go back on court potentially, or I've got to do it after I finished being on court? How was that for you, Marty?
I mean, it's extremely difficult. Of course, I didn't, you know, I did it more from, you know, I want to get my conditioning session in when I hit with Kaiser. He, of course, was training, so I was willing to do whatever, you know, he needed at the time, whether it was playing sets or do some patterns on the court. But yeah, you definitely have to learn how to, you know, save your energy and, you know when to give your highs, when your lows. And obviously, you want to deliver quality 100%, but you need to learn how to conserve energy. Which leads me to a question, actually. Kaiser, I remember we were out on court many hours. It was between 28 to 35 hours a week under the Florida sun, which gets up to 90 degrees at times. And, you know, when you had some time off, what did you invest that time in for your betterment as a tennis player? Was it, did you say, okay, I only got 2 hours today. Am I doing match play? Am I going to do fitness? Am I going to do mental? Like, what? How did you distribute that little energy and time you had to become a better tennis player?
That's a really good question. And that's something that I wish I maybe had a better answer for. But like, especially then, I didn't really know how to like maybe periodize my training. I didn't know like, okay, I'm hitting with Martin today from 2 till 4. I want to specifically work on this. I think a problem a lot of us tennis players make is, okay, I'm hitting with Martin 2 hours. Cool. I'll hit down the middle, cross court, play a few points, and that's my session done and I'm happy. So if I could have redone that time, I would have structured out my hits a bit more, because like you said, I did get my hits in, but not as much as I would have liked to. You know, I was maybe getting 2 hours a day of hitting in, which is still pretty good. But I would have liked more. And so I would have liked to really try and like specialize exactly what I was doing on those days. So if I was to go back into it, yeah, I'd maybe have a day of sets. I'd have a day of, I want to work on my inside out balls, attacking on my forehand more. But to be fair, I didn't really do that. I just kind of was just hitting just to hit, you know, and just to get the reps in, which is still good, but to an extent.
No, that's great. No, and I think that you actually answered my question just great. It tells us that most of your time was invested on the court. You didn't have time much to do physical stuff off court, like doing athletic stuff in the gym, or mental training with, you know, whether it's reading a book or doing some breathing, whatever that was. So, you know,
that's why this lockdown period, I'm actually kind of enjoying it, because I'm finally working on those specific areas more than ever before. And that's why I'm not just mindlessly hitting balls, you know? So maybe when I do return, I'll have this added element to my game that hopefully will kind of take me up.
Awesome.
I think it's a great, again, another great question, another good answer. Like, it again highlights a problem for tennis and for players that are trying to break over that first hump, is that having a coach at that point would have changed all of that, because they would have been able to have the foresight to be able to say, right, this is how you're spending this day, and this is how you're spending this day, and this is what we need to practice today. I'm watching you when you're playing, and I'm seeing this, and hey, look, we need to spend more time on your fitness here and this aspect. But when you're a player who's just come out of college, unless you're very, very fortunate, or you're very, very good, and you're going to be moving through very quickly, you ain't got a coach. you're just barely scraping by financially at that point. I mean, I remember when I came out of college, I was absolutely broke, and like, you know, there was no way that I would
coach. Good that, times.
Like, barely put gas in my car. Like, so it's one of those things where that hopefully there might be a system, there might be something that can help these players, whether it's through the ATP, whether it's through, you know, different governing bodies, where we can actually maybe donate coaching time to players that are struggling, that are, you know, going through that first initial phase. I think it would bring the level of tennis up, and it would give players who potentially give up too early a chance to kind of keep going. And I think as much as we love tennis, as much as tennis has given us everything we've got, there are a lot of big holes in tennis. And there are, this is one of them, that gap between going from the, okay, we've done well in college, to actually breaking onto the tour and getting points and whatever, like, that's a massive hole. And I think if they can invest some time and maybe resources into that, I think it would be very good for tennis overall. But listen, mate, we really appreciate you coming on, and we really appreciate you giving us your insight into it. And we would love to have you back and kind of give us an update every so often on how things are going. And I think I speak for the rest of the guys. If there's anything that we can do personally to help at any time, we'd love to, you know, we'd love to help out. And it's been really insightful. But and I'll tell you what, the last thing I'll ask from you is, if you have one bit of advice for a player that might be relating to your situation now, what would you say to them?
That's really cool. So when I first graduated, I was fiddling around with the idea of playing or not playing, and I was almost trying to find excuses to not do it. And I was talking to one of my friends, a hockey player. He ended up going to play pro in Europe, in Sweden. And I was saying to him, I was like, oh man, tennis just doesn't give me money. Like, I'm not sure it's worth it. You know, I have to do coaching. And I know it sounds cheesy, but he was like, look, man, if you truly love tennis, you'll find a way. And I, as simple as a saying as that is, I was kind of just like, I guess. But then I really thought about it. I was like, you know what? He's right. I'll email clubs in Europe and I'll find a way to coach for 3 hours a day. And then I'll play when I can. And I'll do this. So it is true. If you do want it, you will find a way. Whether that means you are breaking even constantly every month to do so, you're coaching maybe a bit more than you want to. Obviously, it's not ideal, but I do believe you can find a way if you do truly want it. And I will say this as my last thing. A big thing that comes from me continuing to play tennis that I've only recently realized is the transferable skills that it's giving me into other aspects of life. If I am to, when I'm 27, 28, maybe go into an office job, I might be behind people in terms of experience, but I think the skills that I've learned from tennis, performing under pressure, discipline, all of that, will really help me in whatever aspect I go to. So I really would suggest that, really try and go for it if you can.
100%. And for anyone who's listening, if you haven't listened, if you don't take anything we've said for the last like 40 minutes, that last thing he just said there, that's what it's all about. That is seriously what it's all about. I think it's helped the rest of us in our lives post tennis tenfold. So as I said, mate, really, really appreciate you coming on and giving us your insight. We will check in. Best of luck to you. Hopefully we'll be at the end of this month in the UK. We can actually start hitting again. If you're ever down on the South Coast, hit me up and we'll hit some balls. But boys, as always, it's a pleasure. And for anyone listening, we'll see you next episode.
Perfect. Thanks a lot.
All the best.